We got a late ass reunion. Oh, it's hardly new. You gonna hate us, but who made us share with you this late ass review?
Late ass, late ass, late ass, late ass review.
That was the chair.
Yes, that was the chair. That was not anyone in this room or anyone. It's the end of the song. And then it's like he scoots the chair.
Yep.
And that's the bit. And we do this every time for the late ass review. And I try and explain it to you. That's just the chair.
Yeah.
And then you go, what? And I go, it's in the theme song. And then that's that's me checking in on you.
Yeah.
Seeing if you're actually listening. And you're not. I caught you.
Bah.
I win again. You don't listen to the show. You're a dick.
You win.
You know, everyone wants us to review these things.
Yeah.
And then we go and we review them, and then you don't even listen. You know, you're just you're a terrible person. Just admit it. Just say, Armando Aranda.
I'm a terrible person.
Oh my God. Why did you say that? You didn't have to say that. I was just trying to get you to say that to see if you would.
I know you were trying to get me to say that.
Oh my God. And you said it.
I said it.
Oh, you're a terrible man. Mike Zimmer. That's me, by the way. Hey, Mike here. Team Awesome Inc. Follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc. Like that Facebook page. And of course, download and subscribe for free on iTunes as well as Podomatic. That website is
yotina.podomatic.com.
We are not robots.
No.
But we are yet. Not yet. What does that mean? Wow. We just saw it, guys. We did a trailer reaction for it a long time ago. Got a lot of views and hits and whatnot, and a lot of people liked it. We were really down to see it.
Yep.
It's a Netflix original film. It was Okja. A viewer and commenter in Korea actually said it's pronounced Okja, but it sounded like Octeo or something, or Okzeo or Okzeo or Okja.
Yeah,
so I heard so
like
many different.
No,
I heard Okja at one point. I heard other people saying
well,
Okja.
Well, yeah, all the Americans were saying Okja.
And I was hearing Okja and Okteo and all this other one. I don't even know what the right fucking way of saying it is.
Yeah.
But still, I'm just going to say Okja because the commenter from Korea said Okja equals Okja pronunciation, like they spelled it out for us. So I was like, I'm just going to take their word for it. So I'm going to say Okja. And I heard Okja a few times in the film. But you know, if you want to go based off the lead character, she says Okteo or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Or Okteo or Okzeo, Okzeo. God damn, it's going to be hard.
Yeah, there's no real English way.
Because it's just the name of it's they Americans call it the super pig.
Mm-hmm.
But she named her personal super pig Okja or Okzeo or whatever.
Or it's spelled Okja.
It's spelled Okja, but we're going to say Okja because of the commenter. So whoever you are and whatever your name is, thank you for correcting us in Korea. Because you would know. Because Bong Joon-ho, we had to look it up really quick just to make sure because we didn't want to be completely dickish and not do any research, not do 100% research at least. We saw the fucking thing. We just saw it. So, you know, come on, goddammit. Give us a chance. We're still trying to formulate how we feel about it. It was directed by Bong Joon-ho and co-written by Bong and John Ronson. The film stars an ensemble cast headed by South Korean child actress Ahn Seo-hyun alongside Hollywood actors Tilda Swinton, Paul Dano, Steven Yeun, who's in The Walking Dead, of course, Lily Collins, and Jake Gyllenhaal out of fucking nowhere. I had no idea Jake Gyllenhaal was in this fucking thing. He played the creepiest fucking, like, I don't know, like animal wildlife host and scientist, doctor. You're fucking horrible. And
what was he?
I don't know. He was the face of the company. He was like the guy.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, okay.
And then he did a bunch of different things.
I know. He was a doctor, but he was also, I don't know. Okja is a film that is it's kind of like, it's hard to explain. When the filmmaker is an auteur like Bong Joon-ho and it's someone who is a Korean filmmaker, who is finally given the money and finally given the capital and the resources to make the film he wants to make and tell the story he wants to tell, he's gonna fucking do it his own way, and he's not gonna screw around.
Right.
And it's going to come from the perspective of a Korean filmmaker who's gotten complete artistic license to have their message heard and say what they want to say with their film. It touched me on a lot of levels. I was crying. I was fucking crying like a bitch during this movie. It was it was like I was emotionally moved, and it was a CGI fucking pig hippo hybrid monster creature that wasn't real. It was never there.
Right.
But I had felt so much for this thing.
Right.
And for all the other super pigs, as they called them. I mean, I want to call them Oxaws now, but, you know, Oxaw was the name of that one. That one's name was Oxaw, but they're all called super pigs.
And they look more like hippos.
They look more like hippos, but they still got pig qualities. They got pig-like qualities. They got dog qualities, too.
They're smart
like dogs, kind of, you know, and pigs. Pigs are smart. Pigs are really intelligent, actually.
Yeah, they are about the intelligence level of a dog.
Yeah, it's pretty wild how close pigs and dogs are related as far as intelligence. The little thing out there, GMO companies, just trying to help you guys out. Big ol' fuck you to processed foods.
Yeah,
and
factory farming
and... I mean, you, Armando Aranda, are a vegan.
Yep.
You are from Planet Vegan.
Mm-hmm.
The pescatarian quadrant or what?
Pescatarian. No, oh, we don't like those.
No, you don't like. I mean, you live in it, but you don't like it. I guess that's why you're in the vegan quadrant. You're from Planet Vegan, so you're a vegan. And you speak vegan.
Veganese.
You speak Veganese fluently. As someone who is a hardcore vegan and hardcore about animal rights and all that, so are you hardcore about animal rights?
You know?
You are vegan, but are you hardcore animal rights? Or are you like, fuck the animals. I'm not going to eat them, but I don't give a fuck.
I got my own problems, animals. I'm more like
sorry,
the second.
Sorry, I don't want to. I'm trying to have fun with it because this movie was such a brilliant film, and it was so uplifting emotionally at the end, and it was such an emotional roller coaster. But God damn, it was heavy, dude.
Oh yeah,
it was heavy. I'm trying to have
definitely.
Fun now.
Oh,
I'm
definitely.
I'm trying to enjoy my life.
Oh, definitely.
Because Okja really fucked my head up. So I'm trying to be happy now.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I was more. I mean, I am more the second one. I would say the I have my own problems and
sure,
you know, nothing's necessarily supposed to be any way at all.
No.
It's like,
well, that's the thing is, like, American filmmakers, they're so like, they get locked into like one style of how they're doing the film. And I don't know if that's so much them or the studio or whatnot, but I've noticed that Korean filmmakers or Japanese filmmakers or Chinese filmmakers, they tend to take more risks and they tend to entertain you on all levels. You know, whereas American filmmakers, they will entertain you on all levels, but they'll do it sort of on this one track.
Right.
You know, and not even just American filmmakers, but Western filmmakers, you know, as opposed to Eastern filmmakers.
Yeah.
Eastern filmmakers want to give you a little bit of everything.
Right.
When you watch their films, whereas American filmmakers are like, well, look, we're going to focus on this style. Or we're going to focus on this genre. Even in horror movies, Korean filmmakers and I feel like Japanese filmmakers tend to find those genuine moments of genuine humor.
Mm-hmm.
Genuine laughter, genuine joy, genuine sadness, genuine feelings.
Right.
Because life is a mixture of all of those things.
Right.
And so, I mean, you know, I don't know. That's just my own personal thing about entertainment in American culture and Western culture. But I feel like we could be a little bit more open-minded when it comes to sort of entertaining on all levels and being more open-minded with that entertainment. That being said, getting back to the whole vegan aspect of it, do you agree with a lot of what director Bong Joon-ho was saying?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
He was touching on a lot of stuff. The factory farming was a big old thing, especially towards the end with the factory farm, with all goddamn super pigs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of different aspects. Like, for instance, what what makes one animal different from the rest. Like what makes
cows and chickens, man.
Just because you gave them a name,
exactly,
doesn't mean like the other ones don't feel the same.
I know.
Thing.
I was thinking that like when they were walking by the other ones, the other super pigs, I was like, oh my god, they all have like feelings too. And then spoilers, there's going to be nothing but spoilers in this, but this, it's been out for a while now.
Right,
Okja. It's been out for a while now on the Netflix. You can watch it whenever you want, preferably before you listen to this fucking review, because we're going to spoil the shit out of it. Speaking of which, they're at a factory farm, and you see that like there's different ones, and there's even one that looks at her when she runs by, right, and just watches her. And you just think, what is it? Is it looking for help? Is it looking for someone to come up to it and save it? You know, for a split second, I thought that was Okja.
Right.
Because it looked at her and just watched her, and the way it did, it was like longing and sad.
Right.
You know, and it just made me feel like, god damn, these are like cows, man. These are the cows of the emotions. It's like if a cow, but that's the thing. If cows don't get cuddly, cows don't get all cuddly with humans. Cows just go off and be cows. And they don't have these like close relationships with people. It's not like cats or dogs. You know, and Okja was more of like a pet than. I hate to trivialize it, but
well, no, I mean,
it came off more like a pet than anything.
I mean, I think I could show you on some videos on YouTube that might make you think otherwise.
Oh no, I've seen the with the stuff with the goddamn.
I mean, about like, well, no, I mean, not.
No, I, you know, the ones, what's the group, you know, the group that sent the emails?
PETA.
Yeah, you sons of bitches.
No,
you sent those emails with those videos that I watched, and Alec Baldwin narrated them, and Alec Baldwin made me feel horrible about cheeseburgers.
I would go in the other direction with that, because cows can be cuddly, and chickens can be cuddly, too.
I mean, they were advocating free range, and I'm like, hey, free range is fine by me, man. It's like that chicken died of lung disease. That's fine. Like, I can eat it. It died of natural causes. it's meat is still good. Its lungs are fucked up because it's dead from that. But other than that, you know, it's like, it's good meat. It's not like I'm letting that chicken just die. It's like, what, should I give it a funeral? You want me to give a funeral, lead its last chicken rites, Aranda, huh? You vegan commie. All right, but back to Okja. Yeah. Back to what else did you agree with on the sort of politics and the sort of belief structure they had for the film?
Yeah, I mean, they're living beings, and doesn't it make you feel kind of like weird just knowing that, you know, just this mass slaughter is going on for
every day, just for
money basically, and and it better taste fucking good, you know, like,
oh yeah, they started off the film with that.
Yeah,
and it's in the trailer too. It's gotta taste fucking good or something like that. Yeah,
right.
And that basically started the film off with Tilda Swinton and her little sales pitch.
Right.
It's like 10 years later.
Right.
Then we get to the sort of
the
girl with Okja, and they're just hanging out, living their lives.
You know,
and you're like, god damn. Like, and as soon as I started watching, I remember there was a moment during the film where I looked over you and I was like, dude, fuck this movie. It's going to make me sad the whole way through.
Right.
And the whole way through, I was sad and crying like a bitch. And I was like, oh my god, she's doing everything she can to save her friend. And her friend just happens to be a super pig named Okja. Oh my god, this is so good. Like, and, you know, I was just going through the emotional spectrum.
Yeah, and the whole world and the whole system is against, you know, this love of this girl.
Exactly.
And
this
animal.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, this is the best one. It's because it was like, what did you do? How'd you raise this thing? And the farmer just goes, I just let it run around.
Yeah.
He said, I just let it run around and live its life and just do what it wanted to do. And it just handled itself. And then, like, my granddaughter raised it, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of just did its own thing. And my granddaughter kind of just, raised it. I don't know what to tell you. I just let it run around.
Right.
Like, it just let it live its life. And it turned out to be the best one of them all, I guess. Where the other ones, oh god, I can only imagine the shit people did to the other ones in the film. If ugh. And then when you see the farm with all the other ones, you're like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It was rough, dude. It was rough. It was rough for me emotionally to watch all that shit. I was just feeling so much for the struggle of... And that's a big testament to the filmmakers, because these creatures don't exist.
Right.
They're not real animals, but goddamn, I believed it. And I was like, I really believed that this thing was in pain. And I really believed that these people... like, we're trying to do the right thing, and we're trying to be good people, and we're trying to, like, stand for something, you know. It was really cool, and it really got me to sort of, it really got me to think in a way about the sort of, I guess, vegan, not vegan movement or whatever you want to call it, this sort of, you know, it got me to look at that in a different way and sort of see it more like, instead of being like, oh, well, you know, it's like, well, it's, we're humans, we're predators, and we have fangs, and we have, so we're meant to be herbivores and carnivores and stuff. And it's like, yeah, but there's different approaches to every situation.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you could go to someone, and let's say they're coming into work, and they're coming into work late, and they've come into work late twice. And the third time they come into work late, you go, hey, you fucking asshole, you son of a bitch, coming into work late, you lazy fuck. Well, you keep coming to work late, I'm going to fucking fire you. That's the wrong way to handle it. The right way to handle it would be, oh, hey, look, just want to let you know, you've been coming to work lately. I just want to make sure if you just come in on time, maybe a little bit early the next few times, that'd be great. And then I wouldn't have to worry about shit. And then you wouldn't have to worry about shit. See, there's different ways of going about it.
Is there anything we can do over here
there's
to help
Is there any way that we could approach things differently with how we sort of do shit with meat and how we consume, not even how we how we consume it, how we process it, how we consume it, how we raise it, and you know, how we slaughter it, how, you know.
Right.
I mean, my God, there's so many other ways we can do it.
Right.
And so many other approaches to have towards that scenario. Where I'm just like, God damn it. Why are we going with... And it's like, well, because of profit. Because profit.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know all of the political, financial reasons as to... Because profit. Because money. I'm sure you can enlighten me to that.
Well, I mean, there's a demand for it. There's a whole culture around...
Based around the consumption of meat.
Yeah. Based around the consumption of meat. I mean, I'm sure at one point it was, you know, necessary for our survival to, you know, to consume animals or to consume like, or to cook and consume crops that we, or different like plants that we couldn't otherwise eat because they were too fibrous
and we
couldn't access the nutrients out of them.
Yeah.
You know.
Is true. That's another aspect of it.
Yeah. I mean, but like these days, you know, I don't think it's that much about survival.
And by the way, you are getting two different opinions, by the way, just so you know, I'm totally a meat eater. I love bacon. I love beef. I love all that shit. I'm not big on fish or I don't like fish or shellfish. I like shellfish. I like crabs, but that's about it. I'm not big on fish. Otherwise I am a meat eater. I'm pro meat. I like meat. I think it's delicious, but that's, you know, that's my own personal thing, and I'm not pushing it on anyone.
And I
know you aren't pushing your opinions on anyone, but I'm just trying to get your side.
Hey, maybe a little under a year ago or about a year ago, I still ate meat.
Oh yeah. And dairy products.
Yeah.
Were you doing the dairy?
Yeah.
Were you on the dairy?
I was doing the whole, quote unquote paleo thing, you know?
Oh, right on.
Yeah. Yep. Honestly, I think that messed my body up. And I was even eating like the organic, organic chicken and stuff like that.
Well, it just depends on, I don't know the answers. I mean, like, all I know is that there are a lot of fucked up scenarios that are going on with the industry.
Right.
And how things are made and how things are given out. Not given, but distributed. And it could be done better. And it could be done in a way that doesn't, you know, necessarily kill a lot of innocent animals. Needlessly. Slaughtering them and then throwing most of them away, which is like, holy shit, really? Like, when you find out, guys, that's the one thing that pissed me off the most was all the wasted meat. I'm like, that's when I was like, wow, all those little animals could have lived a little bit longer But all that fucking meat was thrown out.
Right.
And why was it thrown out? Oh, because it didn't meet our, you know, like we, it was too, this batch was not even gone bad or anything. Or even the batches that do go bad, it's like my God, the lives lost because of that. Right. And it's like, well, they don't consider it lives because it's the life of a chicken and a cow. It's like, well, what was that? Well, how many lives of a cow equal one human life?
Right.
How many cows equal one human? A million? Does it take a million cows to die until you're like, okay, cows matter compared to one human?
Right.
Like, what does it take? It's like, well, one human matters more than a million cows. It's like, well, okay, fine. If that's your stance, fair enough. So you'd rather that a whole species go extinct so that one human could live. What if the human was a douchebag? What if it's just a fucking asshole and it turned out, yeah, thanks for letting me live. Whatever, go fuck yourself. Like, oh man, we let a douchebag live.
Now I'm just going to do some blow and beat up my girlfriend.
Do blow, beat up my girlfriend and my mom at the same time. Fuck everyone and fuck you guy who let me live.
Why are you flipping us off?
Yeah, suck a dick. All the cows are dead.
God, it's such a douchebag.
Yeah, why did I let him live? I was like, was it one human life? Because you let that douchebag human live. Now we don't have fucking cows anymore. Way to go, dick. Like, wow, what a weird trade-off. But, you know, it's true. I mean, you know, a lot of people would think, yeah, okay, that's fair enough. They think that's fair enough.
Yeah.
A whole species of animal. It's like, my God, whatever happened to humanity and humility? Yeah, whatever happened to sort of being better than that? Like trying to think a little bit above our own reptilian brain, our own primitive mind.
Yeah, and it's weird. It's just like, and these, you know, and the vast majority of these, you know, what really broke my heart.
I know we're supposed to be doing a movie review, but now we're getting into the politics of me. I can't help it. After watching that movie, I'm like, wow, man, I'm kind of pissed off about this shit.
Well, I mean, what really broke my heart about, like, having, like, a pet dog, you know, and stuff like that.
Oh, my God, I know.
And it's just other people having a pet dog. It's just, you know.
All I could do is think of my childhood dog.
When they pass away, it's just, like, it so breaks my heart because they didn't do anything to anybody.
No.
You know, they didn't, you know, most of them.
Most of them didn't.
Didn't bite anybody or,
if
like,
they did,
know,
it wasn't anything crazy, you know.
Yeah, right? And it's just like, you know, they were
dog
just,
shit.
Yeah, they were just
literally.
Like, they were just sleeping. They were shitting.
Yeah,
they were
barking,
puking,
running around,
and sometimes eating it.
Yeah, doing dog stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Being dogs,
digging stuff.
Yeah, digging, running around, humping stuff. You know, pissing on shit. You know, pissing, literally pissing on shit.
Yeah,
the shit they just made. Like, they're dogs. This is what they do.
Yeah, and it's they're not out to like harm anybody.
No,
it's just like. You know, they
even when they get all fucking rabied out, you know, they're like, it's not their fault. It's the fucking rabies.
Right. Right.
They're just like, the rabies are just making, it's just affecting their brain, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It's really sad. Moving along, let's get back to Oxzaw. We've sort of gotten most of our political viewpoints across. Let's see if we can wrap them up.
I can go on. But
let's try and wrap up the major points that this movie is trying to make.
Yes.
I mean, basically, animals shouldn't be like bred simply for food.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
That was the
at.
Big message that I got from this film, was that they really were pushing that agenda. And I'm not saying that's wrong in any way, shape, or form.
And also, it's
at
like,
all. I'm just trying to figure out.
Hey, look, what we're doing as a people. Yeah. As a people, as society,
right.
You know, not exactly saying it's wrong, but, you know, don't you feel something, you know,
absolutely.
It makes you pause. It made me think, you know,
absolutely.
I mean, like I've gone through all this stuff in my head about the ethical and stuff. And, you know, for a long time for me, that was just merely a plus. I'm a health vegan.
Oh, right on. No, I understand.
Like, you know, not really an ethical vegan. You know, I'm kind of a nihilist in a lot of ways. Well, not necessarily a nihilist, but like, I find that nihilism helps me cope with the world.
Right. Well, it's not that you don't believe in nothing. It's just that you believe in the righteous path. You believe in the righteous path.
There are things that I'd prefer.
Yeah.
To be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, personal viewpoints and personal philosophies aside, you know, looking at it strictly from a film like Netflix. Jesus God, I mean they're really making good shit. I mean this yeah. film really was like I thought this could easily have been out in theaters.
Right.
This easily could have been released in theaters. It right. should have been. It should have been a mass release. Right. But you know what? Netflix is smart. You know, because they're the ones producing films on their streaming service.
Right.
Whereas a film like that would have died in the box office.
Yeah,
it could. If Oxzob would have been released, it would have tanked in the box office.
Right, it would have been like, yeah, a few
but
people
But the fact that it was
it.
On Netflix, everyone watched it. Right. Most people did, and it got high praise, high reviews. It's made all of its money back and then some.
Right.
It's gotten critical acclaim.
Right.
And everyone in this film, everyone associated with this film, has been elevated because right. of it. So and Netflix has been elevated because of this film as well. So it's a great turnaround for everyone involved.
Yeah.
One character that stuck out to me the most, I think, was the actual girl. She was amazing.
Right.
She was so good. And I really believed in her. I mean, she was just right. an actress. She was just a fucking young actress. And,
yeah.
But, man, she was talented. Like, I really was following her on this journey. And I was sad when she was sad. And I was happy when she was happy. And I really was like, wow, she's really good at this. Like, she's a good actress. Because, like, none of this shit was real. That thing wasn't there. She never saw what it looked like. But she was able to convey that love for this thing that wasn't there. That, and because of her ability to emote and to convince me that this was real, like, she sold me more than the actual CGI sold me. Her performance sold me more than the CGI did. The CGI could only do so much, but if you have an actress that actually is emotionally committed to a blue ping pong ball, literally, that's all she had to act with. Think about it. I mean, like, we got to see the final product, dude, but she was on set with a fucking blue ping pong ball.
Right.
And having to get all cuddly and close with it and act like it's this giant, like, thing that loves her.
And it's not that common for kids to be good actors, but, you know, wow. Even,
but to pull that off?
That's like doubly...
That's double duty.
Yeah, right?
That's like your kid with the mount... But it's like you also
but
have to remember lines
person.
And you have to remember character development.
Right.
You have to remember that this creature isn't real and you really don't know what it looks like. It kind of looks like a teddy bear maybe,
right.
but
and
not
you're
a teddy
acting,
bear.
But look natural.
It's like a shaved bear, but it's weird. Like just
yeah, she looked natural. She looked
she
was really in the situation.
And like there was, I don't know if they had did they have a rhino on set or something?
Right.
Did they have like, they must have had something big on set she could interact with.
Baby elephant.
Yeah, maybe, right? Like a baby elephant or a baby horse or something. I don't know. Something there must have been. We need to see a making of.
Right.
Because if not, if that was all her, which it doesn't matter, even if there was a baby elephant there, come on.
Right.
She was still damn good.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, that is, that. I mean, wow, talk about acting. I mean,
oh,
she
yeah.
was acting the shit out of that.
Yeah,
and you know what pisses me off is that she's not going to get any award for that. She's not going to get any nomination for that. The only thing people are going to say is, damn, that girl was good in that movie. Mm. What an unfortunate fucking thing, because she's talented as shit.
Right.
And she deserves that shot, you know?
Right.
Like, after seeing this film, I'm like, god damn, shit, that girl deserves an Oscar.
Right.
She does. I mean, that for that performance alone, it was awesome. It was.
Yeah.
I was awestruck
get,
by it. I was like, my God.
She needs to get hired again.
Yeah, this is gonna get her work now. I mean, she worked with Paul Dano, Tilda Swinton. By the way, all the American actors were well utilized in this film, which is more of a Korean film, I'd say,
yeah,
with American
yeah.
actors involved.
With American caricatures.
Yeah, American caricatures on the side, which was great. Oh,
yeah.
I loved it. I loved it. I loved the movie where Jake Gyllenhaal was the side character.
Right.
Jake Gyllenhaal wasn't the lead. He was the weird side creepy guy. For once. I was like, yes. Awesome. And then Glenn from Walking Dead was there. I keep calling him Glenn from Walking Dead, but his real name isn't Glenn from Walking Dead. But he was there. Then he was playing a different guy, obviously, not Glenn. And Steven Yeun, that's his name. Steven Yeun was there, and he was playing not Steven Yeun. And he betrayed the team, and then he had to come back and try and make right with the team.
Right.
Everyone sort of got to everyone got redemption in a way in the film. Everyone sort of was either redeemed or got their comeuppance in the film.
Yeah, it seems that way. Although not always in the way you'd expect.
No. What I will say is that, you know, I mean, we're going on at length about Oxa, but what I will say to the American actors or the Western actors that were involved, Tilda Swinton was fantastic. Steven Yeun was fantastic. But the Western actors that stuck out the most to me were Jake Gyllenhaal and Paul Dano. Both of them really stood out to me.
Right.
Jake Gyllenhaal really did some weird shit, man. He went crazy town on this one. He was having fun. I think the director said, "Do whatever you want, Jake Gyllenhaal." And he's like, "Fucking finally."
And he did.
Oh my God, he was having so much fun, and I was enjoying it too. Up until it got really creepy, and I don't want to get into a lot of the torture stuff, but there was some weird sexual torture involved. It wasn't with Gyllenhaal's character, but he was around. He kind of arranged for it.
It was for the
super pig, and he probably touched himself while the super pig was getting all messed with. Ew, Jake Gyllenhaal. But it was, you know, God, I mean, like, that's a convincing performance from Gyllenhaal, you know? He's like, right. I mean, everyone was convincing in this movie. I believed everyone. And Paul Dano is this sort of, I don't know what would you call him? He kind of came off as a creepy, I don't know, sort of mortician-like, but he believed in his beliefs.
Oh, well,
I don't know. He was a dark horse. He kind of came off like a dark horse.
He was like the leader of the animal
liberation. He was the leader of this group. What do they call it?
Animal Liberation Front.
ALF? ALF, Animal Liberation Front.
Yeah.
ALF.
ALF.
I kept forgetting ALF. ALF, it's really important that you don't eat this cat. You got a really important cat inspector coming over. Fuck you, Larry. I can't remember what that guy's name was. Fuck you, Bill. Alf, just don't eat the cat. Just try not to eat the cat. Fuck you, Larry. Alf didn't give a shit. I'm Alf. What do you expect? But Paul Dano was this very creepy mortician-like character who was hardcore about the rules. And he didn't want to hurt anyone. But there was a weird moment where he contradicted himself and he was going to hit Oxa with a microphone stand.
Well, yeah, I think it was because he was afraid of Oxa freaking out and hurting.
Biting off her arm.
Yeah.
But then she stopped him
right.
with her hand.
Right.
Like Jedi style, like no.
Yeah.
Like hey, fucking Steven Seagal in a bar, like no. This ends tonight.
Yeah, that
was like whoa.
But that was still
kind of a badass moment.
It was still kind of a weird.
Yeah, it was a weird moment. It was like Paul Dano's character was not set up to do something like that.
Yeah,
and for him to do something like that made me not trust him.
Right.
And it made me seem odd. He I didn't trust him the whole time. I thought he was gonna turn the whole time and turn out to be some evil guy or something. But he wasn't. He was just a creepy, weird dude. He's just Paul Dano.
Oh, yeah.
It was so funny. He came out holding a sign that said, it's me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, no shit, Paul Dano. It's you, Paul Dano. You look like Paul Dano. Like, of course it's you. But it's like, hey, don't worry. It's me, Paul Dano. Yeah, I know. I know you're Paul Dano, okay? I got it. Like, I can see you. I have eyes. God damn it. I'm sorry. It's like, even though she knew who the character was, it's like, it's because he was wearing a shitty disguise, but it's like it was a shitty disguise. It's like we knew it was you, Paul Dano. Anyway, it's not Paul Dano's choice.
He has a distinctive face.
Come on. Yeah. It's Paul Dano. It's like Michael Cera. It's like, dude, yeah, it's super distinctive. But again, you know, whatever. Minor qualms with that. And then, of course, let's get to the end, which was really sad moment, really concentration campy, dude.
Mm.
Super concentration campy. It was horrible. There was a mom and dad, super pig couple, and they had a little baby with them. And they saw that one of the super pigs, the Oxa, was leaving.
Right.
And they saw that, and they shoved their baby out of the electric gate. They let themselves get electrocuted, right, and they shove their baby out of the gate so that they'd be like, here, save our baby, so right, our baby doesn't get slaughtered. And Ak-Zaw, as we saw earlier in the film, can hold things in its mouth without biting or eating them.
Right.
And so Ak-Zaw carried the baby out and, like, saved the baby. So it's like, well, you couldn't save all of them, mm-hmm, but at least you could save the baby, at least one baby, at least one. You could save at least one of them, you know?
Right.
And I was like, that was like, okay, there's some redemption with that. And the ending, I felt, was very appropriate because you had Grandpa, you had the girl, you had the baby, and you had Ak-Zaw, and they were all eating, and they were all on the farm, and they were all happy.
Right.
But the fucked up thing that got them to freedom was money. It was a golden idol. Mm. A golden pig. A pig made of gold that...
apparently solid gold.
Well, he couldn't buy Ak-Zaw. He couldn't. The farmer tried to buy Ak-Zaw, but he couldn't buy it from the corporation. And he had saved up the money and had the money to buy it. So instead, right, he bought a golden pig, which was, it was made of 100% gold, and it was worth a lot of money. And he's like, well, I'll buy this instead, because this is a tradition in our country to give to the bride to be. A golden pig. It's like, you know, but that later came on. She, Tilda Swinton's character, which was a weird transition there.
Hmm.
Right? Did you notice that? There were two Tilda Swintons.
Right, right.
But the second one was only on screen for about 10 minutes and was completely different from the other Tilda Swinton.
Right. They kept mentioning her.
Yeah, I was just like, what's that about?
Hmm. Well,
why did Tilda Swinton have to play both parts? I mean, I get it. She's awesome. She's Tilda Swinton, and I'm happy. I'm like, you get double the Swinton for one? You get two Swintons for one? Well, it's awesome. But at the same time, it just felt a bit, I don't know, like, I didn't get that character, that writing choice.
Right.
To sort of have a random ass. But then again, I guess you needed someone to take over the company who was more level-headed and was going to be a little bit more business-minded and not be so fucking crazy like the other character was. But it was still a weird moment.
Yeah.
But regardless, what ended up saving the day was money.
Right.
And that's what pissed me off. All they cared about was money. So she took the golden pig and she just threw it at him.
Right.
Said, here. And she picked it up, looked at it, examined it, bit it. Everyone else looked around like, oh, okay. And she's like, shit, this is worth a lot of fucking money. All right, yeah, you could have it.
Yeah.
You know what? You could have that super pig. This is worth way more than that. Fuck you. You're an idiot. They treated her like an idiot.
Right.
They were going to kill that fucking amazing, beautiful creature. But what stopped them was, oh, yeah, she paid us. She gave us gold.
Yep.
A golden idol.
Yeah.
To worship. That's their idol. It's gold.
And it shows what they value. She valued,
she valued money more than the life, and clearly.
Yeah.
God damn, parallels, so many. But, it ended on a good note, which is, hey, look, you're not going to save all of them. You can't stop industry. You can't stop the money-making machine. Mm-hmm. But you could try and do your best on your own end.
Right.
To make it a better world, to make it a better place.
You can have a heart.
You could have a fucking heart. And you could try and save at least one. Or you could try and do at least one thing. Or you could try and at least pull your weight in one way or another. You could at least try.
Right.
But I mean, this movie really fucked with my head, man. As much as I loved it, I loved it.
Right.
It was an awesome film.
Right.
We'll get to the ratings in a bit. But if there's anything that you'd have to say you didn't like about, because I've been gushing, I've been sucking this movie's dick for like 40 minutes straight. Mm-hmm. If there's anything you got to talk shit about with this movie, what is it? Mine was the weird character swap at the end with Tilda Swinton.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Paul Dano's character wanting to hit Ak-Zaw with, and put the little girl in harm. Because his whole thing was, we don't put humans or animals in any harm whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
No humans or animals.
Right, right.
And he was going to hit an animal with a human in its mouth.
Right.
It's kind of like goes against it. But anyway, that's my minor qualm.
Yeah,
everything
yeah.
else I fucking loved about this movie, and I cried like a bitch.
Well, there was...
Good job, Bong. And I love saying his first name. Bong, you did a good job.
Yeah, I mean, there was that moment. A few things kind of fell flat unnecessary. Some of the messages, some of the characters, you know.
The character who didn't want to eat any food at all. Because all food is processed. I'm not eating any food.
Yeah.
He hasn't eaten for days. That was kind of a funny moment.
That was a little bit funny.
That was a funny moment. It's like, okay, dude, you're taking it way too far.
Yeah.
But he had to show all extremes, though, in that regard. So, I mean, you know, but again,
Problems. Yeah. I feel like it could be tightened up a little bit and have more of a clear direction, at times.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, characters maybe could make stronger choices in one direction or another.
Yeah.
I mean, but then again, it could just be my Western audience mind.
Yeah. I go back and forth between that as well. I mean, to me, it was sort of, I felt as if the important moments were focused on.
Right.
Everything important was focused on.
Yeah, that is true, too.
Like, all the bullshit, all the peripheral bullshit that did not matter was cast aside.
Oh. Well, I didn't...
Like, to me, it felt like a lot of the peripheral bullshit stuff was like, whatever. Like, the important thing is this girl on this mission to get her friend back.
Yeah.
Who is a giant super pig named Akza. And she is not going to let anyone get in her fucking way to save her... best friend for over 10 years, her sister, because it was Akza was a girl. So it's like her sister. It was like they grew up together. She was a little girl. Right. You know? Well, she still was a little girl, but you know, it was like 10 years. And so, you know, she was 5 or whatever, or however old she was, 3, when Akza was brought there. So she was on a mission. Nothing was going to stop her. And she didn't give a fuck. Did you notice that? She's like, I don't care. Get out of my way.
Yeah.
She's like, fuck you. Move. And then she started running. And then people get in her way. And she'd fucking push them out of the way. She said, no. And she would go. Nothing stopped her.
Right.
And I dug that, man. I was like, yes. Yeah. Go. Get your friend back. Like, she was unstoppable.
Right.
She was unstoppable. And as a 33-year-old man who's like had moments, days of like fucking crisis of conscience, like, why do I even get out of bed in the morning? My God, what's the point? I didn't ask to be born, Lord. Why am I here? Meanwhile, this little girl's like, fuck you. Get out of my way, dickwad. She's like punching guys in the ass. And I'm like, Jesus, this little girl gives a fuck.
Right.
I'm like, where am I? Where am I? I'm in bed like a bitch crying. Like, well, oh my God, Akza, why? You know? Meanwhile, she's out there fighting to get Akza back.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh shit. You know what? It's got to make me rethink my life a bit. Totally did.
Yeah, maybe.
So to me, that's where I'm like, that's where the movie was. That was the movie to me. Everything else was like, whatever.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I said before, like, you know, I'm a health vegan, but, you know, it really made me feel, you know, like not just
too.
Think but feel,
yeah, I felt
about
a lot
the ethical issues.
Oh,
you know, intellectually I had gone through like the ethical issues and I'm like, yes, I mean, I would prefer it if, you know, animals, you know, were, you know, it would be preferable for less animals to be killed,
right?
You know, less
time. Yeah, I don't want, I that's the thing, I love to eat chicken, but I don't eat chicken every day. I love to eat beef, but I don't eat beef every day.
Mm.
Some days I just have a bean burrito with cheese.
Mm.
I don't need meat, really.
Right.
Some days I have dairy. It's like, but yeah, you know, cows are actually put into fucking stalls and then they're milked to death. Literally, they're milked to death and then thrown away.
Yeah,
that's a horrible thing. And yet I eat dairy.
Yeah,
God, I hate myself.
I don't want to.
See, this movie makes me hate myself for loving delicious food.
Yeah, I don't want to belabor that.
Right, I hear you.
You know, I'm sure people have been guilted.
Right.
And I don't believe in guilt, and I don't believe in shame, and I don't believe in punishment as a means of changing society. You know?
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
You have to educate people.
Yeah.
You don't punish people, you educate them. If you want to change things, you educate people. You don't punish them.
Right.
You only punish them if they've broken the law or if they've misbehaved,
right?
In any way, shape, or form. Otherwise, you don't discipline them. You let them live their lives freely.
Right.
This girl and this animal weren't hurting it, but because she had done such a good job raising this animal, but the corporation did not care.
Right.
They did not care. It was all a ruse. Remember they said later on,
right.
Paul Dano's creepy mortician character came out and he's like, look, it turns out that, well,
yeah,
this whole thing, this whole 10-year program was a front so that they could kickstart their super pig program and do a lot of fucked up shit with super pigs.
Right.
Why did Oxaw have to have sex with a male super pig? Was it just because Jake Gyllenhaal's character was like, I want Oxaw to essentially there, this was super pig rape. I'm going to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
That was super pig rape. We witnessed super pig rape in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Why did that happen?
Well,
was really uncomfortable.
I know why that happened.
I know why that happened. It happens in farms all the time, and that's how they, and pandas, that happens to pandas all the time.
Because
They like, look, we have to get the pandas to mate. The pandas are dying. Mm-hmm. We need to get the pandas to mate. They will not mate. We have to force them to mate. We have to show them panda porn, and they do. They show them panda porn.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible. I've seen it on, I've seen it on online, not panda porn. But I've seen the documentary. Actually, I've seen panda porn now because of the documentaries. They show you the porn that they show the pandas.
I'm kind of curious now.
As a human, you're like, well, it just looks like a nature documentary. It doesn't look like any sexual, doesn't look like a porn to
me. But pandas, to me, don't even seem that sexual a creature, you know?
No, they're not. They're super chill. You know, in fact, eucalyptus leaves, well, actually, that's koalas. Bamboo shoots do the same thing that eucalyptus leaves kind of do for koalas. It's like only koalas are affected by eucalyptus leaves in that way that gets them high.
Oh, really?
So, do you know that? Yeah.
But when that's koalas all the, chew, that's why all that they're they
always,
eat.
That's why koalas always have that like Yoda look on their face because they're just stoned all the time. Like they just go up in the eucalyptus tree and they go, oh, yeah. And then they just start chewing on the eucalyptus leaves.
So
and
that's
then
like
only koalas get high off of it.
So that's like us eating only cannabis plants.
Exactly. If all I ate was cannabis plants or cannabis products. They'd be like, yeah. Like, it's cool. Everything's cool, man. Don't even worry about it.
But you're not reproducing.
So what? Who gives a fuck about fucking?
Your species is going to end with you.
Whatever, man. That's all this kind of pressure you're putting on me. I'm just trying to do my thing. Well, you got to get all up on my nuts. They're my nuts, you know. They're not your nuts. These nuts, sir. Well, regardless, there was super pig rape, and it happens on factory farms. It happens in all kinds of fucking horrible things in life with the animals.
Yeah.
Breeding.
Yeah, that's
essentially what it is raping.
That happens. It happens.
It was horrible. It was a horrible moment in the movie, but it had to be shown. Did it? ? Did it have to be shown?
Well, I mean, the movie didn't have to be made.
No, the movie didn't have to be made. And if the movie's going to tackle all that shit, I guess it has to kind of touch on that, doesn't it? It's fucked up. And it's like, man, I don't want to think about that. But if they don't touch on that shit, then that's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's creepy.
It's horrible. Creepy.
But it's horrifying.
Oh yeah, and it's just like I've kind of like tuned out of like that the feelings about it like a long time ago because it's just like I gotta live my life, you know, in this world.
Oh, I understand,
you know, where this happens every day.
I know.
You know.
Well, I mean, but
it did get me to think about it again, and it's like.
Well, it makes me just as uncomfortable to think about, you know, the brutality of the slaughter of animals every day.
Right.
I'm just as offended. I think that's more offensive. I mean, obviously, any sexual assault against any sentient living creature is horrible and deplorable, but murder and death and slaughter and genocide of a species? Holy shit, dude.
Well, and often abuse.
If cows and chickens ever evolved to the point of superiority to humans, or if they ever could, if any other animal on this planet could evolved to a level where they could get to be competing with humans,
right?
We would be fucked, dude. That's why Planet of the Apes, they would be mad at us. They'd be like, humans did what to the planet?
Right.
Excuse me? excuse me, humans. We, with the Pelican delegation, or I don't know, what it's the worst animal. Pelicans. We are the Pelican delegation. That's what they'd sound like. I mean, man, at the end of the day, I'm glad this movie was made. I'm glad I saw this movie, and I'm glad I know now in a way I mean, they used an imaginary animal to get me to think about the reality of our lives, about our factory farming world, about eating meat on a daily basis, all of it, dairy products, it doesn't matter, anything involving animal products, it's like, my God. And it's like, how many animals had to... It's like, they didn't Reddit, or was it not Reddit? It was some website. They did a thing where it's like, how many animals died for you to live today? It's like, how many animals died for you to do what you had to get done today?
Right.
And it's like, when you figure out how many different animals died for all the different things you needed to get done today, whether it was the money you spent, the oil in your car, the gas in your car, the clothes that you wear, the food that you eat, the products that you use, like, it doesn't matter, the hair products that you use, animals died for most of that shit. Isn't that fucked up? Just to test shit, you know how many lab rats have died just to make sure the shit worked? Oh my God, make sure that shit didn't kill people,
right?
Oh fuck, man, they're still doing that,
yeah,
to this day.
Yeah.
And it's like, everyone is, I mean, like, for the most part, we're all fine with it. Yeah. We're like, well, if it benefits the human race, blah, 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 fucking blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, I used to, like, when I went, when I was eating meat, you know, it was just like, well, yeah, okay. Cause, you know, this will make me stronger, and this will
protein.
Help.
Yeah.
Build my body and be strong. And wow, now I see this movie, and I'm just like, wow.
Oh, fuck, man.
I was a monster. Just for fucking vanity's sake,
exactly,
you know?
Exactly, yes.
It's like, for fucking...
Why?
Like, and plus, like, you know, like, plus I'm finding out, like, you know, you don't need to eat any animal stuff.
No.
Like,
you
ever.
You don't really.
I mean, I think...
Really, you don't.
Yeah.
I know, isn't that fucked? I know. I'm like, I'm a big-time meat eater, like, you know, I love bacon. And everyone's like, hey, that's the big go-to. It's like, yeah, you know how horrible bacon is for you? But it's so good. It's so... I have such a hard time with it. I think I do that thing. I do that disassociation thing where I watch it on a video and go, that's not what I'm eating. I'm eating bacon. It comes from a store, not a cow or a pig or anything like that. And it's like, no, this is how it's made. This is where Chicken McNuggets come from. This is what they're made out of. And it's like, oh, my God. And then I'm like, man, I really want Chicken McNuggets now. Fuck. What is that?
Right.
That's a horrible thing, man. That's a primitive monkey mind thing. That's just our monkey minds.
Right.
Our reptilian brains. And at the end of the day, I guess we're just, I don't know. Are we supposed to behave like the animals we are? Or are we supposed to be better than the animals that we are? Or are we supposed to do a little bit of both? Fuck. I thought it was the latter. I thought it was just, we're supposed to be better than the animals that we are. Or are we supposed to be a little bit animalistic at times?
Well, I mean, I always say just be who you are. I always say that. I mean, you know, maybe you want to take a look at yourself and see.
I mean, unless if you're a murderer, don't be who you are. If you're a murderer... Don't be a murderer if that's what you are, or a rapist, or a killer, or I know that's redundant for murder, but you get the point. An arsonist, it doesn't matter. Don't do any of that shit.
Well, honestly,
we're not endorsing any of that.
I think all those negative behaviors are, you know, just...
It's a byproduct of a system that's indifferent to a class of people that are sort of put in a lower bracket.
Yeah, I mean...
Sorry, I hate to be honest about things, but... I'm not sorry. Why do I keep saying sorry?
I think deep down, everybody wants to do good. Everybody wants to do right. I think I think people just let stuff get in the way of that.
Yeah. Or they're sociopaths. Then there's sociopaths who don't care who or what they fuck over, destroy, or ruin. As long as they get what they want, they're totally fine. Business as per usual. That's what a sociopath is. They don't care how they hurt anyone. They don't care who they hurt. They don't care what it takes to get things done. As long as they get what they want, they feel justified in it. That's a sociopath.
But are they born that way?
Ooh, good question. Some people think that it's, and you know, this actually fits in with a lot of the characters that we dealt with in this film tonight. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, Tilda Swinton, great job. Mm-hmm. Her character, hardcore sociopath, right? Both of them, sociopaths. Right. Both business people.
Right.
You look at that. Even Paul Dano's character was sort of sociopathic to a degree.
Right.
Because when he found out that Glenn from Walking Dead, a.k.a. Steven Yeun, his character betrayed them, he beat the shit out of him.
Right.
Like really bad. Like he
hurt him.
For not following the rules. It was like, whoa, dude. Like he was kind of psycho about it. It was like, wow. Okay. Even that was kind of sociopathic in a sense. It's like, look, you're that hardcore about the rules that you're really just going to follow the rules no matter. It's like, well, I'm sorry, I hate to hit you, but it's like he has no feelings about it. He just knows, like, I have to punish you. It's like, whoa.
Right.
That makes sense to you right now? That's kind of sociopathic. So it shows on both sides that people are just people. It's just a miscommunication, right?
Yeah, now I really see what you mean by the creepy thing.
Yeah, that's why he came off like a creepy, like, sort of mortician. He's, like, following the rules to a T, man.
Right.
It was scary. And then that's why I was so, like, thrown off when he tried to hit the super pig. I'm like, maybe it shouldn't have been him to do it. Maybe it should have been someone else to do it.
Yeah.
In the crew. Maybe the lady. I don't know. Could have shown, hey, the ladies are willing to kill too, you know, or whatever. I don't know. Regardless, fantastic film. We can't gush enough about it. We can't talk enough about, I mean, like, look, we want to talk about what we hate about it, but I can't honestly say I hate anything about it. I feel like it was very well done.
Well, I didn't hate anything about it. I think some parts could have been better. By the end, though, I you know, I'm really, really for it. I was really feeling.
I was really getting the feels.
I was
on board the whole time. I was from the very first moment that I realized, oh my God, I'm going to be crying through about 85% of this fucking movie.
It's a little girl sleeping on a hippo pig.
Oh, no. And they're best friends. And then they take her best friend away and she's sad. But she's going to go after the hippo pig friend. But, you know, nothing's going to stop her. And it's like, oh, God, I'm crying like a bitch. Oh, fuck my life. And then finally they get back and then they get reunited and everything's okay. Then there's a baby hippo pig that needs to be saved. And it's a mom and dad hippo pig that are in a concentration camp. Oh, fuck. And I'm like dying. And I'm like, what is this, Pixar? What are you doing to me?
Yeah.
You're killing me, Akza. You're killing me, Bong Joon-ho.
But that's great.
Is a testament to you as a filmmaker and to the talent involved and everyone involved. You got me to feel for things that weren't real. These were not living breed. There are no super pigs that I know of. Maybe our regular pigs could be super pigs with all the testosterone and hormones we have injected in them. But regardless of all of that, let's get to the rating. Armando, Armando, what do you give Akza from writer-director Bong Joon-ho? Bong Joon-ho.
I give it an 8.
8 out of 10. High marks.
Yeah.
High marks indeed. Why 8? Why not a full-on 10? You're 2 away.
Well, I mean, I felt that, you know, there could have been some clearer direction with the characters.
Sure.
And, you know, and I felt the story could have been, you know, a bit tighter, a bit clearer, a bit cleaner. It kind of went in different directions. But I wonder
if that, and this is not to this isn't against your point at all.
Yeah.
I wonder if that some of that's just a translation issue.
Yeah, it might
be a translation issue, or maybe an editing issue. Maybe like they have different editors for the Western audience versus the editors for the Eastern audience.
Right.
Like the Eastern Netflix company has different edits of the movie.
Maybe.
And then our Western Netflix outlet has a different edit for the movie. Maybe that's the case. I don't know, but regardless, I see your point.
Well, totally. Also...
You have a total point on that, where it just... Yeah, it points...
Also, it could be that, you know, the director just wants to show that, you know, these are complex people with, you know, many different sides to them.
That's, you know, I mean, honestly, I think that's what, I mean, that's kind of how Korean filmmakers tend to be when they tell stories. They kind of give you a smorgasbord of emotions, and you kind of just get to, you know, enjoy all of it at once, which is great, but it can be overwhelming at times. It could sort of seem like, you know, and again, us as Westerners, we're used to, is this a what label can I put on this fucking thing, god damn it,
right?
What is this, am I happy, sad, or what am I supposed to feel here?
It could
you're supposed to feel everything, man. Yeah. it's the whole movie is about life, and it's about life. Representing what life is. It's like, no, and it's either a horror movie, a science fiction movie, or an action movie, or a goddamn bullshit romantic comedy.
Exactly. It could be my Western
it could be us
filter.
It could be them being like, hey man, it's a little bit of everything. It's like, oh come on, a little bit of everything, come on, pick a side, we're at war. It's like, sorry to use an old Colbert reference, but you know what I'm saying,
right?
At the end of the day, I'm giving it, you know what, I'm giving Oxaw, I'm giving it, oh man, you're giving it an 8. That's what I was going to give it initially, but I liked it more than you did. And if you're giving it an 8, that's, to me, that's high. That's really high mark.
I mean, I was going to give it a 7, but like the ending brought it up for
me. That's what I mean. And the ending was so good.
Yeah.
And it was so hopeful, and it was so real in comparison to a lot of other moments that...
Yeah,
actually,
the
most
so
of it...
Beautiful.
Oh, actually, most of the movie was beautifully done. I can't... Man, I mean, I might bump this up, man.
Mm-hmm.
I might take this. You know what? If we're not gonna go, you know what? Fuck it, go for it. It's a 9. Sorry, go for it. Oxaw's a 9. Yeah, I'm giving Oxaw a 9. There you go. I mean, it's one away from a 10. Again, I kind of agree with you on the pacing issues. Mm. I agree with you on the sort of the kind of throwing a little bit of everything at us at the same time. But it was well done, and I enjoyed it. And at the end of the day, I it's something that I can highly recommend to anyone as a sort of way to sort of look. If you don't want to watch those PETA documentaries where they're showing you how they're doing shit to animals for real, why don't you watch this movie? It's called Oxaw. It's really good. It's really well done. If you check it out, I swear it'll make you think a little bit differently about this shit.
Right.
I could easily recommend this to someone who is kind of like, I'm kind of curious about this thing. I mean, it's a good analogy for what's real, what's really going on.
Right.
So yeah, that's going to do it. Otherwise, thanks for tuning in. You can watch Oxaw, a.k.a. O-K-J-A.
Right.
Oxaw on the Netflix. Go to the Netflix. If you have the Netflix, or your friend has the Netflix, then go on their Netflix, get their password. Send it to us with the account so we could get on and watch too. You know, we could always use the hookup. Just feel free to send us your Netflix passwords. Whatever, guys. We'll figure it out. You can't have ours. It's all right. We pay for that shit. Fair enough. Fair enough, Armando Aranda. Well, this is going to do it. Coming from Mike Zimmer and Armando Aranda, this is Team Awesome Inc. saying keep your mind open, keep your heart open. Check out our YouTube channel, Simmer Mike, all caps, like I'm shouting at you, Simmer Mike. We got plenty of trailer reactions, and that's where this review came from, basically, was we watched the trailer for Oxaw, and they said, do a review, and here it is.
Right.
So if you guys leave a comment, if you want us to review it, we will, and we'll give you our thoughts. If you agree with us, that's great. If you disagree with us, that's even better. Let us know what you disagree with, and we'll try and start a dialogue, and that'll be awesome, and we can totally talk about things. And I think that's great. I think we should be able to talk about this kind of shit, these heavy issues. Follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc. Go to our website, yotina.podmac.com. Simmer Mike is the YouTube channel, and that's going to do it. That's going to do it.
Yeah.
All right, let's Oxaw out of here. So, how did you raise this? Hey, excuse me, sir. How did you raise the ox? You raised this super pig all by yourself, and you and your granddaughter. How the hell did you pull that shit off, man? That's fucking crazy.
Well, it just let it do its own thing for the most part.
Yeah, but you had to have, you know, like beat it, right? Like you beat it a little. Smack it around.
No, I just feed it. You know. Sometimes.
Did you ever like wait till it was asleep, and then when its mouth was open, did you ever teabag it really quickly and then run away?
No, that sounds awful.
It's a horrible thing to do to someone. Don't ever do that. Did you ever? How about this? Hold on. What? But wait, just hold on. Have you ever, when the ox wasn't looking, did you pull your dick out and do helicopter dick and then put it away really quickly and it turned back around? Have you ever done that?
How do you helicopter a dick? What?
A helicopter dick. You ever done that? It's where you take your dick and you helicopter it around?
You swing your dick around?
Yeah, you swing it around like a helicopter. Helicopter dick.
Please leave my property.
Okay, but before I go, just tell me how you raise the ox.
It just runs around and it eats and I feed it stuff.
Right, and you've taken naked photos of it, put it online.
No, get out.
Hey, man.
Get out.
Hey, man.
Look, get out. This has been Team Awesome.
We're at Team Awesome Inc. Wink, wink. Shut up. Yeah.